Okay, so let's. What we've really done primarily is gone through Lamed Beis with Rashi and the Mitzudas. So I'd like now to go through a little bit more. Let's look at some of the Mefarshim, get a little bit more of a flavor. I don't think we even did the Likutei Shas. We did not even do that. So let's start with that. Let's run through this. We did though the All right. Let's
yeah.
Okay. Let's start with a couple of things. Let's start with Likutei Shas. It's one. Maybe it's one more day. And whatever we can do today, we'll do. And whatever we don't do, just to go through a little bit more some of the Mefarshim. So let's start on page 274. On 274, Ludovin Maskil Ashrei Nisui Fesh. We're not going to go through the Pesukim again because we did that. We spent a lot of time with, but there's some very beautiful Mamori Chazal that and ideas in the Chumash Sanoch, Minchas Erev, and some other things that we did not get a chance to do. So let's just spend a few minutes, the best that we can, to run through some things. Page 274. On the very bottom of the page, Likutei Shas Umidroshe Hatanoim, Ludovin Maskil, Ashrei Nisui Pesha, Kisui Chato'o, Omar Rav Kahana, Baruch Hatoa Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakol Niyah Bidvaroi. Mr. Cohen, thank you for the coffee.
Please.
You're a Kohen. I really shouldn't be accepting such honor from a priest. Ludovin Maskil.
It's an honor to be here by
okay. Omar Rav Kahana, Chotzef Alay Man the Mefarish Chetei Bifneachem. This is the big old debate. The big old debate is a prop for a person who is a Talmud Chacham to reveal in public his sins. Public speakers do this very often. They say, "I want to Eschatoai Ani Maskir Hayom." Is that really the proper thing to do?
Is you?
Is it? Who says Zanivas?
Yeah,
Who says it's Anivas? Is that really what Anivas is? Anivas is to go publicize your sins? You're a person has to acknowledge your sins, and then there's a time and place for everything, and sometimes, you know, there are boundaries. Sometimes a rabbi is respected, and not everyone knows that he sinned, and it's a private matter, does not affect other people, and who says it's always such a good thing just for the sake of sensation and in order to score points with the listeners and people will invite him to speak, he should say things to tell you that when he was a kid he used to watch television and he watched this movie and watched that movie and there's a lesson. Okay, very nice. You did an Aveira 30 years ago. You did something that today is unacceptable. Today is unacceptable for different reasons, whatever that means. It's not necessarily the best thing for a person to say, you know, when I was a kid, I watched this movie, I shouldn't really have watched it. Right now, it's not relevant when you did when you were a child, and telling over these things is not necessarily proper. All right, so he says like this, Amar Rav Yochanan, chotzifalai, it is a chutzpah. It is, and also you have to appreciate the different societies, different generations. In certain generations, Rabbanim, there was a certain stature. If you look at these pictures and clips of the Rabbanim before the war, like they had that video clip, that film from Chofetz Chaim, and you can see Gedolah, and you watch the Rabbanim walk in, and so there are pictures also from that time, and some of them are wearing these very elaborate garments, these very elaborate, like bekishes and frocks, and these hats that we've never seen before. And obviously, there was a certain Rabbanim. The Rabbanim in those days, just the fact that you're a rabbi, you're a leader, even if you're not necessarily a big Talmud Chacham, there was a certain expectation. The people who you represent, right? There was certainly today, it's not as to such an extreme. It's not. It's people don't like it when you see Rabbanim getting too carried away with themselves, putting on big hats and big kapotas. It's a different standard. The different standard. And many of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael, they don't wear kapotas, they wear a regular jacket. Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was the Pesach Hadar. He wore a regular jacket. Rav Pam, he wore a regular jacket. He didn't wear a big hat and a long kapota. You would never know. You wouldn't give him a second look if you did not know that he is a Talmud Chacham of the highest order. They say about the Chavetz Chaim, I love this story. This story that there was someone here in this neighborhood. This probably goes back a long time ago. His grandfather, maybe great, probably great grandfather, was still alive. He was very old, and his great grandfather was a knew the Chavetz Chaim. He knew the Chavetz Chaim. He was together with him. So the grandson, the great grandchild, asked the Chavetz, this goes back many, many years, of course, asked him, so tell me, what was it like? What was it like? The Chavetz Chaim. They tell the children in Yeshiva Gatan, they tell them the Chavetz Chaim, like, oh, it's like, you know, the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, to see the Chavetz Chaim. We're seeing a malach. So this person says, if you did not know who he was, you wouldn't give him a second look. In other words, you go to shul and you see they're sitting in shul at the table and someone looks like an old man, a 95-year-old man. He's sitting there, he's davening, he's learning. You look at him. If you wouldn't know, you wouldn't give a second look. But if you know who he is and you watch him, every move he made was full of Yiras Shamayim, Torah, and Chochmah. If you didn't know, you know, just stop. If you know who he is, watch him. You won't believe what you're going to see. That's real God. I think that line really says it all. It says it all where you have greatness, true greatness, and it's right in front of you. But to a degree, you have to know what you're looking for. It's not going to come out of you and overwhelm you. You have to appreciate what you're looking for. So here, Rav Kahana says, Chatzif olai, it is a chutzpah. It is not acceptable. Man dimifaresh chet'ei, who reveals his sins, shenemar, this is the pasuk. Ashrei nisui pesha kisui chata. Fortunate is a person who is forgiven. Nisui means he's uplifted from pesha. Kisui chata'a. This is, I guess it's from the second half of the pasuk, his sins are covered. It's not a good thing to go and expose you, to hang out your dirty laundry for everyone to see. There is a degree of shame and covering over of sins. Just like today a person doesn't walk around naked, you cover your body, so too in the spiritual realm, just because a person did an avera, the whole world does not need to know about it. No one is perfect. Everyone has short. People can make a mistake and think, listen, if you're a holy person, transparency. We have to know everything about you. We want a body cam of your every move you make the holy, because if you're really the real deal, if you're real tzaddik, as you represent us, we have to know your every single deed. That's not right. There is something in this world called privacy. Yeah. And privacy doesn't just mean you don't walk around naked. Privacy means people make mistakes in life, people do averas, and the whole world doesn't need to know. If you did a crime, you hurt someone, you damaged someone's property, okay, that's a different story. But there are many things that people do, averas that people do by mistake. The whole world doesn't need to know. There is something in this world called privacy. We live in the modern world. Mm-hmm. Privacy is almost impossible. That's with right. Social media, it never goes away.
Everybody on social media, cameras everywhere.
Wherever you go, cameras, and also people, they post things online.
Smart appliances and everything else.
Everything that you do, you're being monitored, you're being watched, and many people, this is a very big topic of conversation in the Goyishu world, is whatever happened to privacy? Man basically today has no privacy. The government is watching your every move. I mean, when I was, a number of years ago, I was shocked out of my mind when I discovered, now it's nothing to me, is that you have on your car Easy Pass. And there was an article in maybe the New York Times, just letting everyone know that even though Easy Pass, when you go through a toll, you go on the George Washington Bridge, you go through the Battery Tunnel, you go through, I don't know, the Garden State Parkway, so you go through a tolling station, so you have to have an Easy Pass. So right away, you get a bill, it charges your Easy Pass. there are sensors all over the city where you wouldn't even believe that every time you drive by a certain street, there's an EasyPass sensor. It doesn't charge you a penny, but the government knows where your car is. And like, what? Excuse me. Now, it's just your car, it's not you. Who it could be a ganav, it could be your wife, your child, you lend your car to someone. So what's the big deal? The guard, what's the big deal? We're not tracking you, we're tracking your car. You didn't tell me that. When I signed up for EasyPass, I don't remember ever agreeing when I got my EasyPass device that when I go down a Coney Island Avenue, could very well be, every time a car passes, there's an EasyPass sensor and there's a computer somewhere that is recording that this car with this tag has just gone to this location.
Is this fact?
Yes. Google it right now.
Yes. Certainly
Google
it's true.
It right now.
Yes. It certainly is true for when there's a crime committed.
They check them.
This is nothing now. They know you have a smartphone.
But worse.
Okay, there's nothing.
When they introduce congestion crisis.
Did you see the movie Mules? 2000 Mules? I went to Baltimore. Where'd I go? I drove to Boston not that long ago. It's a 4-hour drive. So I put on, I wasn't able to really watch it because I was driving, but I was listening. I was blown away with the koyach of what you can buy online. You buy for marketing, you buy online information about
what they bought. Yeah.
You for free. Anyone here to the store and buy this information. And wow.
It says because you bought this, then maybe you're interested in that. Or because you called up this store, maybe you want this.
No, your phone, your telephone communicates. Your telephone, you know, you can buy online with information about all the telephones.
Is that all this technology has not reduced crime, has not made people
exactly
nicer.
Exactly. Only made you more meshuggah. But everyone more meshuggah, 100%. There's something called privacy. The Torah is a very, very big fan of privacy. And this pasuk is an example. The pasuk says, Ashrei nisui fesha. A person's sins are covered. Here, it's a bad thing. Here, a person, it's one thing. What difference? Well, you walk down the street. Here, a person has done an aveira. And the pasuk says, you did an aveira. It is no one's business. It's no one's business. There is,
unless it's relevant.
Unless you've harmed someone.
No, that's
the trouble. Okay, fine. but it's known that the Torah is a very, someone must have done a lot of research, wrote analysis. The Torah is a very big fan of privacy. There are people in this world that will tell you, there's something called Hezek Re'iyah. In every dimension of your life, the Torah is there to promote privacy.
Are we going to make like what you were saying, like a little joke in a way? Yesterday I went to like look up someone's name, then I went to look up my own name to see. So it had the address, but my English name was Arnold. So it had Arnold Cohen deceased, but it had Aaron Cohen living at the address there.
I'm deceased already. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm online. I'm already deceased.
You know what I'm
deceased.
Saying? Give away.
It's very good. Jury duty, I just say. You send back. Deceased. Look it up online.
It's public record.
Public record. What do you want from me? So this is, in every dimension of your life, you'll find a chazal that will tell you it's no one's business. Ashrei nisui fesha. Don't go and reveal your sins. Kol shekein, don't reveal someone else's sins. And unfortunately, we live in a world, you have to balance the standards of the secular world versus the standards of the Torah. That's always been a very big very difficult task. But okay, let's go for the next. Omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Ramik says, Ashrei, a contradiction. I'm reading out the third law on the third page, 274. Amarav Yudam Rav. Rav Rami. Ksivit says in the pasuk Ashur Tzufesha Kisui Chato. Ksivit says Mechase Pishav Lo Yatz. The person that covers his sins will not be successful. He will not be successful. Lo Kosh Avastira. So the other one was Avastira. The other pasuk is just the opposite. That the person should not conceal his averus. Lo Kosh. The Gemara answers the contradiction. Lo Kosh Ha Bechet Mefursam Ha Bechet Shein Mefursam. Okay, it's very straightforward. A person that Naveda no one knows about, so keep it private. Once already it's public knowledge, then you have to come clean. Then you have to come clean, then you have to do teshuvah. Then you have the entire section, the Torah of a Karban Chatos, for a Melech, and for a Nasi. We want to welcome to the Shir Mr. Phil Bloom, who ordinarily comes in person, and now he is virtual on the screen. Okay, next. Rav, that's one answer. Rav Varzutra, Babar Tovi, Omar Rav Nachum, Kan Ba'averus, Shebein Adam L'chaver, Kan Ba'averus, Shebein Adam L'mokam. Another simple difference is the Adam L'mokam, it's between you and Hashem. Ben Adam L'chaveroi, you have to tzach, lifer desachet, you have to go and you have to confront the person you've caused harm. Shnemar, Onu Chotu Hamazeh, Chato'o Gidoi Lo, Vayasu Lohem Elohei Zohav, Divrem Gidim Bavos. What's the raya? They have done a Chato'o Gidoi Lo, Vayasu Lohem Elohei Zohav. What's the raya? Over here, what is it? I don't know what this passage means. The raya over here is you have to conceal Ono Chato'o Amazeh Chato'o Gidoi Lo, Vayasu Lohem Elohei Zohav. And here we're exposing the sin. What?
That was public.
That was public, but that was the other one. Mokan the chait of the egel hazav was the chait in Adam Lamokan.
Exactly.
And in Adam Lamokan, we say that you should conceal the avera.
Right.
So why here are we bringing a pasuk that's telling us that Moshe exposed the avera in public? So what does he mean to say is that the chait of the egel wasn't, don't make a mistake and think it was only ben Adam Lamokoyim. The chait of egel was a chait ben Adam Lachaveru. Because you betrayed your fellow man. The whole Klal Yisrael, they will makabel the Torah. For a person now to go publicly and worship the egel, you're damaging your friends. There was a small group of people who worshipped the eagle, and they caused harm to everyone else.
Plus,
I don't know what it means.
Yeah. And
the truth is, every chayt ben adam lachaveroi is certainly a chayt ben adam lamakoyim, and every chayt ben adam lamakoyim also, to a degree, is a chayt ben adam lachaveroi, because the consequences.
Arvus is
the name. That is an arvus. Once there's a chait of Ochon, what happened? Ochon took from the spoils of Yericho. He was not allowed to. And what happened? 36 people died. Now, Ochon was the ganef. Ochon was the ganef. And yet 36 people, not Ochon, Ochon lived. But 36 people, when he was punished. But Ochon was the ganef, and because of what he did, 36 people died. Or some say one person, or still don't count.
And the pasuk says,
Chotu Yisrael. What do you mean, only one person sinned? How can you say 36 people sinned? Obviously, when one person sins, you damage the entire society. When Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael, Chazal say he cooled off the bath. No one would dare touch Klal Yisrael. They were riding high. When Amalek attacked, they were suicidal. They were wiped out, but they cooled off the bath. The world saw that it's possible to attack Klal Yisrael and nothing will happen to you. So every time a person does an avera, bein adam lamokoyim, okay, it was a Muhammad Hashem.
Yeah.
It has an effect on other people as well. It's contagious. You're causing harm. So over here, I'm not sure what it means. Over here, he's coming over here and say, there's a difference between Adam Lamakim and Mechaveh, right? And when it comes, Kain Ba'averus Shebein Adam Lamakim, Tzorach, let's look at it one more time over here. Loikash, Chabach, Rav Zuj, Barak, Do Tavi, Amar, Amar Nachum, Kain Ba'averus Shebein Adam Lamakim, right? One refers to Adam Lamakim, right? Kain Ba'averus Shebein Adam Lamakim. There, Ben Adam Lamakim, Tzarech lifer desachet. Okay, so think of here, and he's saying over here different ideas that when you do teshuva with Adam Lamakim, Klai Yisrael worship the Egel, he's saying over here not what I said. it's saying over here, it's a different idea. When Klai Yisrael worship the Egel, the Sechev in Adam Lamokim, you have to specify your sin. Shenemar, Ono, Chato'oh, Omazeh, Chato'oh, Gidoylov, Ayastram, Elohezav. When Moshe discussed with Hashem the Chet Egel, which was a Chet in Adam Lamokim, Moshe reviewed in very great detail the Chet. Whereas, when the person sins in Adam Lachaveroi, you do not specify the sin. Okay, so that's a very interesting idea. That's not, I don't think the average person looks at it like that. And a person speaks lashon hara about his friend. So hold this is a very big sugya in Chavos Chaim. If a person Reuven spoke lashon hara about Shimon, and Shimon does not know, should Reuven go and tell Shimon, "I'm sorry, you may not be aware, I ruined all of your children's shidduchim"? Should he do so? Okay, or you did what? I was wondering why no one wants to be Mashadik with me. You're the culprit? I'll kill you. And now Shimon is going to have an intense hate for Reuven, and Kimayim Ponim Amaponim. If Shimon now hates Reuven, Reuven will hate Shimon even more, and the cycle will continue. Oh, but Reuven did a terrible Avera, irreparable damage. He spoke Lashon Hara against Shimon, and Reuven wants to do teshuva. So should he go over to Shimon and tell Shimon what he did? It's not so simple.
What is he accomplishing by that?
What, exactly. So that's the point. What are you accomplishing?
Something I stole, yes, but if I can't,
I can repair the damage, but I've caused you very great harm. You're right. Right, exactly the point.
If you're apologizing to someone, they want to hear what specifically wrong you did.
You have to look at it from a different point of view.
As opposed to teshuvah, which is between man and God.
You have to look at it like this. When a person, don't look at it from Shimon's perspective. Look at it from Reuven's perspective. I mentioned this with you. Your story is in the news where a person commits a crime, and 50 years later he walks into the police station and says, "Remember 50 years ago there was a cold case, there was a murder, person disappeared, had in the news a couple of years ago, there was someone that disappeared, a child disappeared, and at the time there was such an investigation in the news, who did it?" And the end was, you know, here it's 50 years later, I'm 90 years old, I want to confess.
But there might be a purpose.
What's the purpose?
And nowadays they use that word, but it's closure for the family.
For the family?
Yeah.
No, interesting. He's saying, okay.
It might have been somebody else.
I'm just saying that. Okay. Not that word.
Okay. Wait, so you say something. Let's make up a make-believe case where there's no one in the family that's alive that needs closure. It's just a selfish act, basically.
Right.
I am burdened. I is a religious person. I'm going to die. I'm 90 years old. I'm going to go to Shemayim. I'm going to go straight to Gehenim. It bothers me very, very much. I want to do teshuvah.
He doesn't accomplish anything.
The question. It does.
We might not be accomplishing anything, but we all grow up and being taught. You know, when you ask for forgiveness, you have to say what you did. So that's the culture. So the person who did this wrong, he was 50 years later. He wants to tell the person what he did.
For selfish reasons.
This case is not telling anybody. He's telling the police department. Right. There's no family. There's nobody else.
There's no one.
He got off his own chest.
Oh, exactly.
So it's a selfish thing.
It's a selfish thing.
Which has no purpose
for himself.
Logical purpose
for himself.
He's also entitled to do teshuvah.
He can't
do that
calling the police department.
No, he
can't.
That's the way we're taught.
So we're taught wrong.
Okay. Dor of Dov, this person who wants to, you said Hidil, it's selfish. Isn't he entitled? Lo yidach mimenu nidach. Hashem does not push away a person. This person who's the murderer is suffering. He's suffering. Does Hashem want to give him an opportunity to unburden himself? He sincerely has remorse for what he has done. He has to suffer the consequences. No one's denying that.
So he will.
He's denying.
Remorse now, and keep it to yourself. If it's going to help the community, society,
no, okay, it's
family,
not. It's not going to help. It's not.
It's not going to help anybody.
Not.
Keep it to yourself.
No, but keeping it to himself, he's eating himself up alive. Does Hashem
exactly.
care about? Does Hashem give a person an opportunity to unburden the pain he has for what he has done? Absolutely. Does he have to suffer the consequences? Certainly. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. There's a principle. Hashem does not push away anyone. There are consequences. No one is denying for one second, one havamina, that he's not going to have to suffer the consequences of what he has done. But still, there's a rehabilitation for every person. So this person, after 50 years, he's going to sugar. I'm going to die now. I'm going to go to him. I need him. I'm going to go to Gehenna and suffer for what I've done. That I know. But at the very least, I want to do some degree of teshuvah. Does Hashem allow him that opportunity?
Yes.
Yes?
But teshuvah does not mean that I got to go to the...
The Pasuk here says, no. Ashrei nisui pesha. No, don't tell. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. But why? Lo yidach nimenu nidach. Why? I'm also entitled. Just because I've caused other people harm, and they suffer, I'm going to pay the price for that. But I'm not a Rasha. I want to go through a process of teshuvah. David HaMelech taught the world there's something called teshuvah.
And therefore, does not mean I have to go. If it's going to serve a purpose somehow to the community.
For me, not to go.
You keep saying it to somebody.
So you that's exactly the point.
Because there is no family. And you have no family. You have no
psychological,
keep it to yourself.
That's what the Pasuk seems to say, and that is a tremendous chiddush. The Pasuk here says, when you're the person in Avera, ben Adam lachavera. And as you just said, what are you going to accomplish by confessing the sin? You're gonna open up old wounds. You're gonna cause a lot of tsar to more people. So it's just selfish. You're just selfish. So okay, it's selfish, but maybe I'm entitled. Maybe Hashem is rachmanis on me also.
I agree with the
Pasuk says no. Ashrei nisui fesha, keep it to yourself, eat yourself up alive.
As a proof,
there's extra space on it.
It's
right, my meaning.
I can tell you, my sister Shoya, my mom.
You murdered someone?
No, my mom, she had something stolen from her like 40 years ago. She's not here. 30 years later, someone knocks on her door. She's living in Borough Park. A lady, and I don't know what possessed my mom. She opened up the door. Hello, do I know you? Can I help you? And the lady says, yes. Do you remember years ago you went to a certain place and you find the jewelry afterwards? I took it. The lady tells my mother 30 years after that. She caused my mother again.
What was nefesh?
She always felt, she wanted to pay my mother, and I said, I have nothing to do with that anymore. I got paid for my insurance. You deal with them, goodbye, get out of here. You ruined my life. That's the way for my mother, that was a turning point.
So that's what it says here in the Pasuk. Ashrei kisui pesha.
The turning point in her life that was stolen, when the person stole those things from her. And she never, in a sense, psychologically fully recovered.
Wow.
And then this lady comes 30 years old. I'm sorry, my daughter was getting married. I had to give her a ring.
So look what David says. David says, this is an incredible story.
Couldn't help her.
Obviously, you can't generalize.
No.
You can't generalize. But you're saying something that's very, very powerful. You're saying something very powerful. Ashrei nisui pesha. There are certain things that Mayor, we had this discussion, right? Mayor, what's his name? Not go into details. A certain writer says, "Oh, he should come out and go and a person is a criminal, and he should come out and apologize." There comes a certain point in time. Adkan, just let it be what it is. Trying to find reconciliation is only a booby trap to make a much, much bigger korban. Quit while you're ahead. Deal with what you got. But I'm overwhelmed with guilt. Well, that's the consequence sometimes of doing an avera. Yeah, being overwhelmed doesn't mean that now unburdening yourself and doing teshuva is an excuse to cause people even more pain. You can't always be selfish. Where do you draw the line? I don't know, but this pasuk is a very critical ingredient, principle in this concept. There are times when less is more. Ashrei nisui pesha.
You can still be doing tshuva.
Okay, privately. But Ashrei, the whole world doesn't need to know. Life is very complicated. David, you know, you learn the Tehillim, David was the ultimate psychologist. A thoroughly deep understanding of the human condition. And these contradictions, when should you be Megala, not be Megala? Look, the Chofetz Chaim, he wrote some very controversial things in Mishneh Berurah. And not only the earliest show was so happy when he gave you a Haskama. He went to one of the big rabbis to get a Haskama. On Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he read the whole Sefer from cover to cover, and he said, everything is Gval, but there's one thing, I don't like what it says here. It's wrong. He said, I think there were a few stories like that, different issues that he wrote. One thing was, could a person say Lashon about himself? The Chofetz Chaim originally said, you're allowed to. You're allowed to speak Lashon about yourself. And one of the Gedolei Yisrael strongly objected. And then the Chofetz Chaim experienced, it was a Maisa, he experienced something and he saw that girl was 100% correct. I mean, he retracted. And there were other things in the Mishnah in Chofetz Chaim. The Sefer Hilchos Lashon Hara is an extremely sophisticated analysis of the human condition and to understand how pain and suffering works. You have to really have a lot of experience in different situations. And you cannot ignore psukim like this and Maamari Chazal. Not every time is it the correct thing to hang out for the world all your dirty laundry. It's not always the right time. Let's go further. Right.
As you're supposed to do that.
Adam Lamokon.
And you have to look at the Yehuda said tzedakah.
Because he was caught red-handed.
Nobody knew about it.
But that was a unique story. She was pregnant. We're going to take her out to her death. They're going to kill her. So you're asking a very good question. Colin is really touching upon it. Why did Yehuda have to say tzedakah, kama, mimen? Why do you have to say that? It was an incredible chil Hashem to the world. Yehuda was mezaneh. Today, could you imagine today such a scandal today? Tzedakah mimeni. Look, she's pregnant. Right away he knew that she does not deserve to die. And he had the power, seemingly, to cancel her execution. And he'll figure out a way to let her scot-free. And he doesn't have to, and he doesn't have to be mevaza himself. Now, being mevaza himself publicly, tzedakah mimeni, who even says he has the right to be mevaza himself when it's not necessary? If a person is a respected leader of a community, and then all of a sudden in the daily news, on the front page, the rabbi committed a scandal. He wasn't just mevaza himself. He was mevaza his community. They're all running for shame. Everyone is running for shame. This is a person that your leader. A public figure is the property of the community. You don't necessarily have a right to be mevaza yourself when the consequences come upon the community, yeah?
I think that's the reason why Melech Shemai
Kvodimachal. Melech Shemai Kvodimachal. So how then was Yehuda publicly allowed to say, mimeni, tzedakah, mimeni, I'm the guilty party. Really? Okay, it's taka true, you're going to deal with it. In Shemayim, you know, you're going to deal with it. But what? Yet, he did. And there's nowhere in Chazal that anyone says he did the wrong thing. Never heard of a man of Chazal.
He's praised to the skies. For
exactly.
That.
So and why is he? Why is he praised to the sky? Why do we? Was it necessary? If you're caught red-handed, then you have to say chatos. That's not a question. Was it really necessary to say I'm the guilty party? Yehuda right away knew this woman does not deserve death. Did he have an opportunity, a way to exempt her? I assume that if he was a person of power, obviously he was, he had methods, he had ways to put an end to this whole issue without, no one was accusing him. You don't find here there's a smoking gun, they're accusing him.
There's a woman. It would be a black mark against her, though.
In a way it was, because, in other words, if he would say somehow, this is mine, then how could it be yours? Why is it yours?
No, he doesn't say it's his. Mordechai is saying a very good answer. There would still be a black mark, a mark against this woman, Tamar. Because how Yehuda gets off the hook. She's going to be innocent. She's not going to die. She's still pregnant. Who's the father of this child? Out of wedlock? Oh, you're not sure tzadikus anymore. Who's going to want to marry her anymore? So Rav Mordechai is suggesting the only way Yehuda can save her to remove the stain from her reputation, the only way possible is if he accepts responsibility. Possibly. That's why it would be an exception. But let's say there was another, there would be a solution where she would come out of this a hero, and the world doesn't have to know what he did. Is it necessary for him to go and be megala his bzyonis? Ashrei nisui pesha. It's no one's business. Oh, I want to be a hero also to show the world teshuva. Is it really necessary? Look, this whole mizmor, David kept begging Hashem. Hashem, I did teshuva. I was nichshol with an eshes ish. The worst of the worst. I spent my whole life doing teshuva. We learned the medish inside. Right. David negotiated with Hashem. We're done. Hashem, we're done. I'm clean. I paid the price. Big time. We're all good now. Take it out of the text. I don't want in the morning kolel, in the year 2022, they should be talking about this. Take it. Hashem said, sorry, David. That much I'm not giving you. But David asked. Why did David demand from Hashem? He made the request. He put in the request. Ashrei nisui pesha. Kisui chato'o. The whole world doesn't need. But David made the request. Hashem told him, sorry. That you don't get it. But David made a request. Why did David ask Hashem to delete this story from the text? No one has to know about this. We learned the Maharal Chazal. I don't want the world to know. I paid the price. Everyone comes out good here. So why does everyone have to know about this? Why did David? David should be very happy. Because he'll be a big hero. You have to reveal your sins. No, you don't. If there's no purpose, we live in a world of crazy transparency. Transparency, transparency, transparency. Yeah, 100%. You have to be honest. People are crooks. There's not much transparency. I'm waving now to Shui Hurwitz. He's right there watching over there. And there's probably some secret. I know I was like, oh, yes. I say, oh, there's the camera. The guy says to me, that's not the camera. That's a decoy. Right. You see this little thing? That's the camera. Really? Whoa! and every place they have secret cameras. They have a public camera to fool you. You think that's what the camera is? Camera's right in front of you. Okay, so we live in a world of transparency because, unfortunately, there are a lot of mishugoyim out there who roam the streets, and we need to be protected. We need to be protected from ourselves. But don't forget, the Torah HaKadosha promotes privacy.
Okay. By the way. Doesn't say lucky is the person, not like me. Everybody knows about it. All the Mefarshim talk about it. But Ashrei Ha'ish, it is covered. Nobody knows about it. Only myself and a couple of people. Say much more, say kisui. That means
passive. It's very interesting.
I said this already before, but Rabbi Frandon with Rabbi Rudiman, he said a bachur came to them before Yom Kippur and said that he wanted to do tshuva because he had an affair with his mother-in-law. And he said he wanted to do tshuva. They didn't know what to tell him. He said, we just didn't know what to do. They left it. They told him, you know, to do whatever he has to do, but shut his mouth. I mean, in other words, they didn't publicize it, and they just literally threw their hands in the air, and they didn't know what to say.
How do you deal with these questions?
Rudiman
from Baltimore, the Rashi of Baltimore. Zechus Yadin Aleinu. They scare us. This is a very frightening thing. They say, in this world, everyone can cover their sins. What about in the next world? I always get spooked out. You know, you go to the cemetery, reading these psalms. This is what it says. I don't even know if it's true, some of these things. They say, there are people who, before they go to the cemetery, before they go to the place of the ultimate tumah, Aviyah v'Tumah, they go to mikvah. That's what it says now. It's hard for me to accept these things, what they mean. That's what it says. You go, before you go to the cemetery, you go to the mikvah. Why? Because if you don't go to the mikvah, before you go to the cemetery, the mason, they can see all of your sins. By going to the mikvah, the tahara shelters the mason from seeing your averos. What? In Kabbalah he mikvah. But first of all, why is that so? Ashrei nisui pesha. What in the next world do neshamah see? Does a neshamah, all of his sins are exposed? How does all of this work? I remember once Rav Matisyo Solomon. Rav Matisyo Solomon said that the time will come. This is it. He scared the little, he talks to the children. The time will come. Every keystroke you type on your keyboard, he was talking about technology. People who unfortunately are lax in what they look at online. Every keystroke you type on that on the keypad will be revealed to your friends, your family. Before you type something in,
think.
The day will come, those exact words, your friends and family will know and see. He's the Gedolei Yisrael. Is that really true?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Sure. What?
That's not the point. You're not trying to give you the truth. You're trying to say...
No, you don't do chinuch. There's no such thing as chinuch with lies. No such thing. No such thing. Never, ever lie when you're machanech a child. Because once they find out it's a lie, out is oiskefret. Out is oiskefret. Once you begin going too far, you're finished. So, this is something to think about. Okay, let's run ahead. Let's run ahead and let's go to where we are. We'll jump around. Let's look at the let's go further to page 279. 279. Let us look at the Chumash Anoch. The Chumas Anoch, Zayin Ches, Ata Seisel Li Mitzar, Titzreini Hashem, you shelter me from Seisel Li Kama, Mitzar Titzreini, from the enemy, you protect me. Okay, so the Chumas Anoch, page 279, Evshur, the Kavona Ato Hu, Shehu Chesed, page Zayin Ches, the Pasuk Zayin Ches, on 279. Ata Seisali.
It's speculation.
The Hakavus the Chido, the Hakavana Ata Shu Chesed, Seisali ki Bechochasisi, Vim Kain Mitzar, Shu Hayetzahara Titzraini. Okay, this is the basic so far. Ronnie Falet, Hatoira Shehi Nikreis Rina, Zemoya Lihinotzel, Ach. Achas sha'alti to soiviveni sel. Let's read all the words and explain this whole thing. It's a very beautiful idea. She'yor makif ki oz misrache kayetzer hara. Askil chav orcha b'derech zu. Okay, this is an answer to the Gematria Echad. She'kol kavanoscha b'cholin yonecha yeh liyached kudsha b'richu shaleh. We don't need the Kabbalah part. But the first part is basically telling different madregot in achieving protection. Ata says, again, this is what we say about the Kabbalists, the very good ones. The first section is that you alone, Hashem, you alone provide man with chesed. You do nothing. Just the fact that you are alive, automatically guarantees that Hashem will protect you. There's a certain fringe benefit you get with coming into this world. This world is a world of chaos. There's incredible chaos. There's no living creature in this world that can survive a day if not for Hashem's giving man an undeserved chesed. Okay, the world is a chaotic place where everyone is really out to get you. That's really what it is. All the force of people out to get you. And the only reason why man survives is because you, Hashem, on your, I did nothing for this. You alone, what do you mean you? Your kindness shelters me. And therefore, mitzar, who is the tsar? Is the Yetzirah, you protect me. However, if a person goes through the extra step and learns Torah, then he upgrades his protection. Right? Even the alarm system upgrades. You can just get the basics, or you can get the upgrades. Central station, you can then get better, you can then have an armed guard on premises. you can have dogs, we can have surveillance all over the place. There are upgrades. If you go to the higher upgrade of Rone, what's Rone? Torah. Torah is Hashira Hazois. L'shmoya El Horina, excellent, much better pasuk. L'shmoya El Horina, the El Hatzifil. What's Rina? Rina is Torah. Hakol Kol Yaakov. Kol Yaakov is the Rina. Rone, HaTorah. He nikreis Rina. Oh, that's even a higher level. Falait zemoyal lihinotzel. That helps to be spared. Ach achashualti. The highest level is to seveveni sela, which is she or makif ki oz misrach kayetzahara. I'm assuming this means you, the to seveveni sela to be a holy person. In other words, I think what he's saying over here is, he's going to go on and say a little bit more and then further on, but this just attracted me. There are different madrigals of protection. We all know Chazal said, if a person does a mitzvah, ein shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. Loi b'halichasan v'loi b'chazorosan. A person that does a mitzvah, even if you are a shliach mitzvah, on the way there to the mitzvah, the way back, you're protected. But you only protected the idna. Why are you doing the mitzvah? If you stop off at McDonald's to take a break, I'm no longer involved in the mitzvah. When you're doing the mitzvah, there's a special siyata d'shmaya, Hashem is watching over you. And if there's danger lurking in the neighborhood, there's a guarantee, Chazal say, there's a shmir. Torah is a higher madrega. Torah is megin be'idna. V'loi be'idna, shloi be'idna. Even when you close the daf Gemara, you walk away, just the fact that you learn Torah, there's a certain aura of learning Torah that stays with you, that protects even when you're not learning Torah. And then there's a higher madrega. So the higher madrega is when you internalize what you've learned. Where, you know, it's one thing you learn Torah, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's a very nice idea. But I'm not shyach to this.
One-on-one.
I'm not, you know, you learn Torah every day. Talmud Torah, there's an inner learning Torah. You know, the Torah penetrates. But when the Torah affects you, you learn enough Torah that it affects you and you become a different person, which we all strive for, then you're in a different stratosphere. Then the Shechina is mamish surrounding you. There is Ata Seser Liyu Hashem on your own. You protect me. Nitzar Titzreini, you from the enemy, you shield me. But Rone, then you zoche to Falait. Falait, what the Chidah seems to say, is a higher level than Titzreini. There are different words. Titzreini means shelter. Palait means to escape. When you're in a shelter, it means the world is coming to an end outside. There's a storm outside. It's raining outside. And I'm lucky to be in a shelter. There's a roof over my head. So the rain doesn't affect me. But it's still raining. There's still danger outside. Falait, I'm in Florida. I'm not even here. New York is going through a tough time. Hey, not my problem. I'm in Florida. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. I've escaped. I'm not even Shaykh. How do you get to that higher Madrega? We higher Madrega through running. And then there's a higher Madrega of Tesei Viveini, where, like the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod, it's just a more exalted level. Okay, then he goes on, so let's try to figure this out. It's a little something a little more esoteric, but just run through it and see if we can figure this out.
You're reading it differently.
No, I said
that Titzreni here has a double meaning.
Okay.
Either you or it, the Torah.
Uh-huh.
So that's
what you're saying. Atah Sefer
Mitzah. Titzreni, you guard me or it guard me. Titzreni Rone Falet.
The Rone is Titzreni.
The Torah.
The Torah, which is the Rane,
with
expressions. Okay, so you're just taking the word to Tzreni, you're applying the word Rane.
Could be.
So there are two different words. There is the word Tzreni, and there is the word Falate, and there's the Atah, and there's the word Rane. The difference, obviously, is that when Atah means Hashem on its own, Hashem does Chesed. Hashem created the world for the goal of doing Chesed. A person does absolutely nothing in this world, he is still a recipient of Hashem's chesed. But if you apply yourself through Torah, which means either mitzvahs or limud haTorah, you elevate yourself to a higher level of falet. Falet is a higher level of total escape. And then there's even a higher level of Tisaveveni. So he seems sort of here to Tisaveveni, even a higher level. Okay, let's go down to the next part of the Chidah. This may be a little more esoteric. Let's see. Inami. Inami, Vinim, Divinim is a Pusim HaKadim Chatosio Diacha. The Efshar. The Yadua, I'm continuing on page 279 in the Chidah, in the big paragraph. The Yadua, Kidav Ramel Cholav Shalom Luchata Biatzem Hadav Arbeva Sheva. Ooh, now he's going over here into the real. You open up a can of worms. Anyone that touches this topic does not come out with clean hands. Sorry. Never heard a person walk away from talking about this. People get all worked up about this. Especially, you know, really gets really worked up about this. So yeah, women. Talk, I'm tired, you know, a guy goes out with a girl on a date. What are you talking about? What are you talking about on a date? The weather, your family, which seminary you went to. What? You do what kind of this and this? Okay, let's talk about something interesting. What do you think about the chait of David and Bathsheba? David chata ein elatoya. Wow, you want to know what the person's all about? Everyone has an opinion on this. Everyone. You'll really get to know who you're dating, who the person, boy, gets to know, it's your grandchildren. Who they're dating.
Problem is, she learned all the Mefarshim.
Not necessarily. They're scared to teach them all the Mefarshim. Not necessarily. I don't know. They're not necessarily. Just so you go review. Review the sugya. Ask your grandchildren to review the sugya of David and Bathsheba with their date. And I guarantee you, when this conversation is over,
they're not getting married.
No. So they might get married.
This way or that
you
way.
Will really learn a lot about that person. It's so true. This is a topic I've seen many times. People, once they start talking, especially women, they get very worked up about this. Because women are very, women demand loyalty. Men, they're out to lunch. Women, they're very emotional, they demand loyalty, and they're very disturbed about this. Okay, let's see. Inami. V'nirmai is v'psukim ha'kaidim chatosi odiachab. Women are into Tumah. Let's tell you a quick joke. It's taka very, very true. I was at a Shabbos table not that long ago. This really, really sticks to my head. And good morning. Good morning, Shalom. The husband, all of a sudden, you know, they're sitting at the table, they're talking nonsense. It was very formal. You know, it was a more And all of a sudden, the husband just, you know, just he steps out for a second. 20 minutes later, he's still not here. And I don't even think anyone even noticed he was gone. And they're just talking, schmoozing, all the gossip and nonsense. And then, like, the wife says, what happened to Daddy? Where'd he go? Patsy, whatever. So, yeah, he comes back. So she says, where'd he go? Just, I went to learn. I went into the other room, you know, I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. So the wife says, let me ask you a question. How would you like if we're sitting at the table and I would step out and I would come back and they would say, where'd you go? I said, I went to say Tehillim. I went to, no, Noshin, they're wearing the hill. I went to say Tehillim. Tehillim, stop. You know, they're women, there's a group of women to know, they're very big into Tehillim. Men, they go to the Daf Yomi, and the women, they say Tehillim. What would you think? You think it's normal that in the middle of the Suda Shabbos, I would just pick myself up and walk out into the other room and sit down and say Tehillim? You would say, I'm crazy. So why is it that when you get up in the middle of the meal and you sneak out and you learn the Daf Gemara, wow, he's such a masnid, such a tzaddik. But the Levaya, they'll say, he finished so many mesechtes of the shachs by the middle of the Suda. You hear at the Suda, this is the way it is. You're supposed to be with your family, and you hear at the Suda, knew it's a waste of time, it's a waste of time. If I would go and say Tehillim, do you think I'm nuts? So why is it? It's people have a very different, you know, and is there some truth to this, you know?
Did she get an answer?
Well, no. He was quiet. He's a smart man. He knew how to keep his mouth shut. Let's see. So, Inami. Nirma is babsukim akoidim chatosi oidiacha. Let's finish up. Okay. V'yav shod yodua ki David ha-melechol v'ashom lechot b'yetzma dover, b'vasheva. Okay? David didn't sin. Why? B'chala yoyitzel v'melechom v'espace David could get krisus. Krisus Kaisev Lishtoi. I know someone would see this, he would go ballistic. Get Krasus, he would say. Not Krisus. He would say Krasus. It should be with Tsere. Tsere. With Cholom, yeah? Krasos? Krasos. So Tsere under the Reish and a Cholom under the Vav. He would go crazy if he saw this. Get Krisus. Kaisev Lishtoi. Ach. Okay, so what happened? So really, really, technically speaking, David did not do an Aved because she was no longer an Eshes Ish. Because Uriah Hachiti gave Bathsheba a get. Either it was a get now, and there was an expectation that she would be Machzer Gerushasai if he lives, or retroactively, if he doesn't come back from the battlefield, retroactively would be a get. And since ultimately...
So he wanted to make sure that he doesn't come back.
Doesn't come back, so he sent to the front line. So since ultimately he did not come back, so therefore retroactively she was divorced, so therefore technically speaking David did not do anything wrong. However, this is not the way an Erlich Jew lives his life. Just because you can get away with it, just because you can do it, doesn't mean you should do it. So this therefore is a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Ach, nimshach mizeh Chilul Hashem, ki hehemoin daber yidaber kolecha kuret sinai v'hayichel Hashem. Gossip. People are told what he did. V'harav ir bin Yamin chelik beis mesech liyoma. I don't know who's he talking about over here. Who's the rav ir bin Yamin chelik beis? I don't know who he's talking to. Kasaf ki aloy me l'shma. This is the where aloy me l'shma mischaper loy tekev ufoga minei zimnei arba chiluke kapara. Okay, this is Gemara Masechet Yom, that if a person learns Lishma, Hashem immediately forgives him. Okay, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara what a person needs to do to achieve atonement. Yisurim v'chul v'chulu. But a person that does a sincere repentance, he is forgiven instantly. Okay, that's how you said. V'dover yidua, another principle. V'tzorch l'hizboinin b'masha shechoto, v'tzorch l'das b'ameh pogam v'kama pogam, v'tzorch l'asos hachona l'hizvadois, v'zeo sh'omar. So now he's going to explain the pasuk in that light. David, according to the Chayim HaSanach, he's saying Dirush. This pasuk that we are citing is David reflecting upon the chait of Bathsheba, describing the different steps that he has taken, And it is a limud musar for us, because we also very often fall into this category where technically we've done nothing wrong, but we know that it's not the right way to behave. And he says as follows, Chatasi odiacha, shuchet ba'olma. I have done a sin. Va'avoyni hanimshach mizeh hachet, dehoya chil Hashem vu avoyn chomor me'oy loy chisisi. Not only did I do an action which he's really contradicting himself, because David technically did not do a chait, but let's make believe it was a chait. Let's just, for the sake of simplicity, I have done an action that in Shulchan Aruch, make believe, you can identify a siman in Shulchan Aruch that says this is a violation of the law. Okay, I confess. You're not done yet. You're not finished yet. There's another dimension to chet, and that is chil Hashem. Is that the way a religious Jew behaves? And even, how do you know that's also an element? Because even if you can prove to me that you get off the hook with a legal loophole, a technicality, why I did not actually do a chet, but is this the way an Erlich Chagid behaves? That's another dimension that needs to shuva. Sorry?
Or Melech Yisrael.
Melech Yisrael. Loichi Sisi. That I also did not conceal. V'yosisi hachon akoydim avidui. And I've thus made preparations before I go to you, Hashem, and I relate. I made preparations. Lodas pirotei hapigam beguf v'nefesh v'zeo sh'omar omarti, I said, oideh alei fisho'ai k'loimar koydim avidui hoyisi oime sh'roitzel l'svadoi z'umeichin atzmi. Okay, this expression, Amarti, I said, Oide, I will confess. Alei Fisha. What he's saying basically is, before you say vidui, you have to prepare. This really, in essence, is what we do the entire Chodesh Elul. The whole Chodesh Elul is a putting yourself in the frame of mind to prepare for the ultimate vidui that one recites on Yom Kippur. Practice. It's just a dress rehearsal. The whole Chodesh Elul, that whole Slichus. So what is Slichus? The Igur Kapar is Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tif. And then 10 days later is Yom HaKippurim. You cannot walk into Yom HaKippurim without being prepared. And what is the Ikar of Yom HaKippurim? Vidui. We say Vidui exactly 10 times on Yom Kippur. We say in the Shemona Esrei, and then in the Chazar Sashatz, or by Ma'ariv, you count the number of times you say Vidui. How many times do you say, Oshanu, Bogadnu, how many times do you do that on Yom HaKippurim? 10 times, twice at night, and 8 times by day. 10 times, you say Vidui Yom HaKippurim. And that's the Ikar. That's Mamish the Ikar, is the Vidui. You can't do that unless you prepare. That's what it says over here. The whole Chodesh Elul is a fulfillment of what it says here, Omarti Oideh Alei Fish. I said to myself, it's in the future tense. I didn't do it yet. Odeh, I will confess. When a person makes a statement of what he will do, he is making hachonos. And Chodesh Elul, it's a fulfillment of this word, Kiloimar, Koidem Havidui, Hoyisi Oime Sheroitzel Lisvadis, who make an atzmi. Vani Mishar Toikev Gol Chachay Bumich Umich Vodov Vuvne Mi Ani Misvade Vzeo Shomar Omar Di Odel Lefishi Di Ani Madich I Prepare Afilu Chet Lefshoim B'Choshvi Lemi Chotosi. Okay, different expressions. Lemi Ani Who, to whom did I sin, and in front of whom? Vzeo Shomar Omar Di Odel. He keeps on repeating himself. Odel Lefashav V'Kevin Shes Bonanti Mikoidem V'Nichnati Midas Tuv Chohu. You Hashem, the Ato Nosos Avoin Chatosi, Sell you forgive. Havoy Nimshach Mechatosi, Shohu Chil Hashem. You Hashem has Nososi, the Avoin you carried away. וחיתה מהרגעים ארבוע חילוקי כפור בחילו השם וצורך לשוב יום הגיפורים מסוים מזיזה ואיך אמר תביעת הנוסס לזה אמר על זוי שהיא התאר לשמוע. Okay, he's going into some esoteric things, but the only thing I want to take out of this is just this fact of the three things. This drew my appeal to me, these three different levels. The three levels are, you have to acknowledge Pasuk Hei. The Pasuk Hei is Chatosi Odiacha. This is the Yisod of Teshuvah. Number one, there is the actual technical chait that has been, what exactly did you do? Confess. What exactly did you do? If you're in denial, nothing even begins. A person, when he does teshuva, has to acknowledge the facts. This is what I did. And what I have done is forbidden. It is illegal. It is awesome. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Va'avoyni lo'chisisi. Do not say, no, so I didn't have error. Who cares? Who was watching? It didn't bother anyone. No one was affected by it. You deny that, you're finished. Besides the action, the avera itself, you have done a chil Hashem. There's no specific pasuk you can refer to. This is not the way a religious Jew behaves.
That's the avon.
And I'm not in denial of that. Some people, they'll say, okay, I stole $1,000. Here it is. I'm giving it back to you. I'm not tzaddik. That's it, I'm done. We're done. You caught me, $1,000. Fine, another $1,000. Look, you came away ahead. It was worth it for you that I should steal from you. People, because now you walk away with double. Kefil, right? Kefil. Arba v'chamisha. You take someone's animal's worth $100, and you slaughter it, or you sell it, and then you're caught red-handed, you gotta give him back five. Wasn't it worth it for you? Wasn't it worth it for you? You know, I was once a fender bender. Someone went and banged into me on the Verrazano Bridge. Banged into me. So I didn't think anything of it. Until I looked at the car, later on, and there was come on, no damage, but I knew something was wrong. And I brought it in, and I showed him, he went under the car, and he showed me that the bang, it damaged, there's a certain bar, it broke, and he says, for it's a leased car, you have no choice, you have to have it repaired. And he was right. So they repaired, the insurance company came, the insurance company evaluated it right away, and they gave, and they were willing to pay, everything is on the books, an enormous amount of money. And he said to me, the guy said to me, listen, the insurance company, they came, they evaluated, and they're paying this amount of money. I'm telling you, you have a deductible, a deductible, and you're going to have to pay a lot of money. I'm telling you, it doesn't cost me that much to fix this. And I feel guilty taking all this money from the insurance company. They're giving it to him. The insurance company themselves came down, and they inspect it, they look up on the computer, this thing costs this amount of money, and they give him the money. I put in a brand new part, but it doesn't cost that much, and I feel bad, you're going to have to pay a lot of money out of your pocket for the deductible, and I'm making so much money. So you know what? I'm giving you back your deductible. I said, is this illegal? He says, no, it's not illegal. Go check it out. Go ask a lawyer. It's not illegal. You told me it's not illegal. So he claims. I just feel guilty taking from a yeshiva bracha so much money because of the deductible that I'm making on this more than I need to make on this. So it was kedai to get into the fender bender. you get back the money. In this case, I didn't really get back the money. I didn't pay the money. I'm getting all confused how this whole thing worked. But I think at the end I gained. I think at the end I gained money. I think at the end. He gave me back money because I brought him the business. Chveis, I don't know. If I would have done the chatchila, I don't know. I asked someone a month, he told me it's okay. Chveis, I don't know, it was a very long time. But the point is, sometimes you have an incident and you have agmas nefesh. You have agmas nefesh. And for the agmas nefesh, you walk away. Baruch Hashem, no one got hurt. No one got hurt, and you make a lot of money on this. So you tell the guy, it was worth it for you. It was worth it for you for me to steal your axe, your yashar, or chamar, or your sheep. It was worth it. No, it's not. There's a chil. So if I paid you back the money, I'm clean. I've done an avera. I've paid my debt. No. This ain't over. You did an avera. You were mechallel the shem Hashem. People are talking about it. Just because you paid off your debt and you were punished, you serve your time. You serve your time. I went to a bris yesterday, so someone said, this boy, he was in our yeshiva, he was a good boy. He was here for a certain number of years. You let him out early for good behavior. The yeshiva said, like, this is basically a prison. He should have been here longer, but for good behavior, we let him out. You served, you paid your debt. You paid your debt. So I'm done. Amarti, I said, Oide achatosi odiacho. My sin, I confess. I'm done. No. You're not done nothing. You're not done nothing. In addition to the chayt, is a dimension of chilul Hashem. And that chilul Hashem has to be acknowledged. You must acknowledge the chilul Hashem. Va'avoyni loy chisisi. Okay, fine, Hashem. I acknowledge the chil Hashem. I'm going to say vidui. No. You just don't say vidui. It's not so easy. Vidui requires preparation. Mi shemeichin be'erev Shabbos or yechol b'Shabbos. Omarti David, I said to myself, oh, there I will. Not today. I will confess. Alei fisha'ayla Hashem, which the Chidol learns, the fact that it's in the future tense is there's a commitment that I will do something, which automatically means there will be a preparation process to come to that moment of actual confession. You know what a chidushim? You have to acknowledge exactly what you did. Number two, you have to acknowledge that there was a chil Hashem. There has to be vidui, and the vidui has to come about through a preparation process. And that's what we have the entire Chodesh Elul for. Alright, there's so many more beautiful things, but we can't spend, I'm unfortunately not talented enough to do these things in the proper way. So Miyirtz Hashem, tomorrow we're going to go on to Mizmor Lamed Gimel. Ranaru Tzadikim B'Hashem B'Yisharim Nevasu. This is a very, very famous Mizmor. We say this on Shabbos Chodesh. I will pick up tomorrow with Lamed Gimel, take a short break. I want to talk about today already the beginning of the Yimei HaMitzarim. Sunday is a Tainis Tzibur. So we'll talk a little bit. So after Sunday, we're not going to have a show on Sunday. So I want to start talking about some of these things. So we'll talk a little bit after the break about Shavas Tzibur Talmus.
Thanks for the recommendation tomorrow.